Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So this interview is brought to you by the Children's Hospital Trust because wishes do come true. The Children's Hospital Trust is an independent non-profit organization. It was established in 1994 and it raises funds to support the advancement of child healthcare across South Africa and the rest of the sub-Saharan Africa. And on the line we have Chantel Cooper, who is the CEO of the Children's Hospital Trust. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, it's amazing to be with you tonight.
Really, really wonderful to talk about the Children Hospital Trust and the work that they do. Just maybe for those who are not familiar with your work, just tell us about the Children Hospital Trust.
Well, our story started with one man, Professor David Beattie, and the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital in Cape Town in the, I'd say, the early 1990s, when the government was about to close the hospital down. And he was really passionate about the fact around the value of a standalone children's hospital, particularly for children and their families. Mm. And so he went out and he said to the government at the time, "I don't want you to close the hospital down. Mm. I would like to raise funds. How can I go about doing that?" So he did a little bit of homework, connected to people, and the trust was established in 1994, so this year we're 30 years old. And I think the original focus at the time was really to save the hospital. The hospital was established in 1956, and the infrastructure and equipment by the early 1990s was really falling apart. And so our role at the time was to support the infrastructure and purchase equipment, exactly.
And the kind of impact that you've seen with, you know, obviously, as you're saying, initially it was about saving the hospital because things were sort of falling apart. But over the years, 30 years now, the kind of impact that you've seen with the trust?
Well, you know, we've learned so many lessons along the way. I mean, in 2011, we realized that, you know, a hospital is so much more than infrastructure and equipment. Mm-hmm. There's the value of the people inside and the empowerment and the training that they need to ensure that children receive the care they receive. But it was so much bigger than that. Mm. We realized in sub-Saharan Africa, we just couldn't only be the only specialist hospital in Africa. Mm. Every child, doesn't matter where you live, deserves access to healthcare close to home. Mm. And to get together with the University of Cape Town, we established the African Pediatric Fellowship Program, where we fellows from all over Africa spend a year to 2 years who are qualified pediatricians, and they come and they specialize in an identified gap from their countries, and they go back and they set up services. These are incredible humans who come from difficult environments who go back and set up services for children and literally save the lives of millions of children. So from an impact point of view, and you could break it down in a financial perspective, where we've contributed with the support of donors over 1 billion rand to the healthcare system. We've made a difference to the lives of over 5.5 million children across Africa. But I think, you know, when you really break it down in terms of what's important, children are at the core. It's because we have a role to ensure that children grow up and are healthy.
You've spoken about the African Pediatric Fellowship Program. I want us to tell us about the Child Nurse Practice Development Program as well. I mean, this is really, for me, quite heartwarming.
So you know, we often take our nurses for granted because they are at the core of the services that we receive. And if we take our experiences through COVID-19, the nurses were our warriors.
Yeah.
And so the Child Nurse Practice Development Program was also established in partnership with the University of Cape Town. And they have a range of different training programs. But one thing that really stands out with this program was the value of what they learned through the COVID-19 epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do face-to-face training.
Mm.
So what they did was they started developing short courses that could be implemented on an interactive online basis.
Mm.
So that enabled them to expand their reach. So they're now able to develop their own programs. They've developed a critical care course for nurses. You could be a nurse in a clinic. You could be in a rural village in Nigeria, and you can attend one of these courses.
Mm.
They're currently developing a wound care course, which is aligned to our burns project. But it really is about making learning accessible to every single nurse.
Yeah.
One of the programs they've got is a journal club, which I find very exciting.
Yeah.
That any nurse from across Africa, doesn't matter what level you are, whether you're clinic, district, regional, or tertiary hospital, you log in once a month. There's a topic that you discuss and you all learn from each other, but it's actually a forum for support and to share your learnings and your experiences, and just knowing that there's somebody else who is there to listen to what you're going through.
It's really
which
special.
Is important.
Yeah, really special.
Very.
You've been with the trust for what, 10 years, I'm told?
Yes, 10 years in the non-profit industry for much
And I just want you, because sometimes you made the point earlier, you know, it's about numbers, yes, you know, a billion rand and 50 projects and the like. But it is about the impact, the human face, the impact of how a life can be changed, is changed. Any stories you care to share?
You know, I always come from a perspective that we as adults have such a powerful role in shaping the future of through our children.
Mm.
And there are so many kids that I've met over the years that have just been absolutely incredible.
Mm.
You know, there was a one little boy, he was adopted, his mom was homeless, and I just happened to be in the ICU at the time.
Mm.
He had been really lucky to get a new kidney. He had undergone a kidney transplant the night before, and his adoptive parents went to find his mom. That when he opened his eyes the next morning, the first thing he saw was his real mom. Mm. And I have never seen a smile straight from the heart. It was absolutely incredible.
Sure.
The hospital is also really well known for the separation of conjoined twins.
Mm.
And, you know, when a surgery like that is happening in the hospital, you can feel the energy, you can feel the excitement, because it's just such a powerful, powerful story that's about to happen.
Yeah.
And, when twins are conjoined, they know each other, they feel each other, they are one.
They share umbilical cord.
Yeah. And so I'll never forget the last step that was separated a couple of years ago. It was a really successful surgery right from the beginning.
Mm.
And they put them into two separate incubators after their surgery.
Mm.
And it was so beautiful to see how their arms naturally gravitated towards each other as they were looking for each other. Even though they were supposed to be fast asleep. So needless to say, they found a big enough incubator to put them both in, because they just didn't want to be separated from each other.
Sure.
And I think for me, the adults that I've met over the years comes from the APFP program, where you have women who have left their countries, they have left their families, they've left everything they know, including their children, for up to 2 years to come and learn a specialized skill so that they can go back and save the lives of children in their countries. It is, It's just mind-blowing what these women do when they go back. I mean, they go back to hospitals with very little resources, but they do what they can to make it work. They make a plan. There's no excuse. There's no, I can't do it. There's no, it's impossible. They go back and they make a plan. Mm. I mean, there's women who've set up oncology services that never existed. Mm. It's just, I think the people, we are, and let me take a step back. You know, we live in a world where we focus on the negativity, we focus on what's wrong, and in between all of that, there are humans like these people, and every health worker in a state facility that's trying their very best to make a difference to the lives that they touch every single day, that nobody talks about. Mm. And people forget and take them for granted. But these are actually our heroes that make a difference every single day without people knowing about it.
And you know,
and I think it's the trust we want people to know that there are people making a difference. Yeah. There are people doing good every single day.
And sometimes when you listen to a program like ours, you listen to the problems, as you said, and you only hear bad stories and you feel helpless. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity for some of us to get involved and to be a part of something quite magnificent, quite wonderful, to give back to also to those, as you said, who are selfless, who are doing the most with the very little that they have. How do we get involved? How do we support your trust?
So it's really simple. You can just go onto our website, which is www.children'shospitaltrust.org.za. A very simple WhatsApp number if you want to chat directly to us is 071-224-4477. But I think there's also simple things other than the trust, is that when you're going through the state healthcare facilities and you're using the service, just acknowledge the people.
Mm-hmm.
Just acknowledge and thank them for what they're doing, because sometimes it is a very, very tough environment to operate in.
Yeah, fully understand that. Chantel Cooper, thank you so, so very much for making time for us. She's the CEO of the Children's Hospital Trust, and this interview was brought to you by the Children's Hospital Trust. Because of you, wishes do come true.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.